Okay, we are holding the last words of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We're still on the topic of the various things that you might want to do with a pot of food on or before Shabbos. Shehiya, which is leaving it on the stove to stay hot for Shabbos. Chazora, which is putting it back on the stove after you took it off. And we also talked briefly about smicha, about putting it next to the stove in order for it to heat up. So now continuing on that topic. The Gemara says, "Bo minei min Rabbi Chiya Ba'Abba." They asked Rabbi Chiya Ba'Abba a question as follows: "Shachach kdeira al gabei kira." Suppose a person forgot before Shabbos a pot that is a pot on the stove, and the stove was not goruf b'chatum, and we're talking about again that it wasn't completely cooked. Now, again, the question is primarily one way of looking at it. Rashi says that the question is, again, according to the opinion, not like Hananya. We've been talking about throughout the Perek that Hananya would allow you to leave food on the stove coming into Shabbos, as long as it was Michael Ben Rasori before Shabbos. So according to him, there's nothing to ask about if you forgot, because according to him, you'd be allowed to. So according to Rashi, the question is, according to the Chachamim who disagree with him, what would be the din if you were over the Shogig and forgot to take it off before Shabbos? And according to Tosfos, the question is actually even the question could even be according to Hananya if the food was not Michael Ben Rasori before Shabbos. So what happens? He forgot the pot on there, Ubishla b'Shabbos, and it ended up finishing cooking on Shabbos. Mahu, what would be the din? Are you allowed to eat that food on Shabbos? So again, we have two ways of understanding the question. Either according to the opinion, not like Hananya, which in turn among the Rishonim is the opinion of the Rif and the Rambam, that you need goruf b'chatum, that you need to clear out the coals or cover them with ashes in order to even leave a pot on the fire before Shabbos. So according to them, the question is, what if you forgot? And according to Tosfos, the question is, even according to Hananya, if the food was not at Michael Ben Rasori before Shabbos. So what's the deal? Are you allowed to eat that food on Shabbos or not? Ishtik, so Rabbi Chiya Ba'Abba was quiet, he didn't answer them anything. L'machar, but the next day, nafak v'darash lehu, the next day he went out and darshan to them as follows, based on a Mishnah in the Sech of Trumos, that says, Hamavashal b'Shabbos b'Shogeg, if a person cooks on Shabbos, and here we're talking about full-fledged cooking, let's say, for example, he forgot it's Shabbos, he didn't know he's not allowed to cook on Shabbos or whatever, so it was b'Shogeg. The din is yoichal, you're allowed to eat that food, but the mazid lo yoichal. But if you did it the mazid, then you're not allowed to. You have details about that. In halacha, are we talking about when you say the shogig that you're allowed to eat it right away or only on Mokta Shabbos? When we say the mazid, it's also, do we mean forever or only till Mokta Shabbos? What about other people? You have various dinim about it. I mean, we're going to get to later on in the Omer what the practical halacha is as far as how we do things nowadays if a person mistakenly cooked on Shabbos. Anyway, but the Mishnah says that if it was b'shogeg, you could eat the food. If it was the mazid, you can't eat it. And he said, v'loy shna, so he says, drosha, he said to the people, there's no difference. Now, we have to figure, what does he mean, there's no difference? Does he mean there's no difference between mistakenly cooking it and mistakenly leaving it on the stove, and then it would mean that it's mutter? Or does he mean that there's no difference between this case of forgetting it on the stove and cooking the mazid, which we're going to give it a reason in a minute why we have reason to say that. So my veloishna, so I'm going to ask, what is this veloishna? When Rav Chiya Ba'Abba said, he quoted that Mishnah, and then he said there's no difference, what does he mean by that? Rabba Rav Yosef Da'amu Tavayu Lehetera. So Rabba and Rav Yosef both say it means that he wants to be makir, he's come to tell us to be makir. Because you can argue the difference is mevashel who decovered meiser. Because when he actually put the pot on the stove, then he actually performed an action on Shabbos, and therefore the mezid lo yoyachal. Therefore, we're saying if he did it on purpose, then knowing that it's Shabbos and knowing that you're not allowed to cook, then we're saying he's not allowed to eat it. But the implication would be, in this case, where he just left the pot on the fire, where he's not actually doing a maaseh, because he just left it on the pot, he left it on the stove before Shabbos, he didn't take it off, so he's not actually doing something b'gadayim. So then we would say the mazid nami yochel. Then we would say that actually, even if he did put it on there on purpose, then even if he knew, in other words, that he was supposed to take it off before Shabbos and he deliberately didn't, even then we would say that he's allowed. So there you go then. So the answer would be, so far, if we understand Rav Chiya bar Abba that way, that not only if he forgot the pot on there would be mutar b'dieved, but even if he deliberately put it on the stove before Shabbos, knowing that he's supposed to take it off before Shabbos, and then decided not to and just left it there, then even then, b'dieved, he would be able to eat it. So that's one way of explaining it. But Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, but Rav Nachman Yitzchak says the other way around, what Rav Chiya bar Abba meant was le'isura. He's coming to tell you that there's an isur in this case, that this case of leaving the pot on the stove before Shabbos is similar to the case of cooking food b'mezid on Shabbos, actually cooking it, actually putting it on the stove on Shabbos, where there the Mishnah is saying that if you did it b'mezid, you're not allowed to eat it. And the logic is, mevashal hu delay osi le'irumi, the logic is, when it comes to actually cooking, nobody is going to do ha'arama. Nobody is going to try to play a trick and say, and then cook on purpose on Shabbos and say that I did it for sure. Because, come on, when it comes to Issur D'oraisa, we don't assume that a Yid is going to deliberately go and be over on an Issur D'oraisa and then falsely claim that he did it for sure. Therefore, b'shergit yechal. Therefore, if he did it b'shergit, fine, we can allow him to eat it because we can assume that it was a real shergit. Because if it must have been a real shergit, because we don't assume he would have done such a thing to me. As opposed to avolhai, but when it comes to leaving a pot on the stove, which has only been a bunan, and people are liable to be more careless with it. So then, osi li'irumi, there he's more likely to start trying to play tricks and do it on purpose, and claim that he actually forgot it. Therefore, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, "B'shoyeg nami lo yechal." Evidently, then, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the logic would be that Rav Chiya bar Abba would say, in that case, even if you truly did it b'shoyeg, you shouldn't eat the food until Matzah Shabbos, because we don't want that you're going to do it on purpose and claim that you did it mistakenly.
So then, every shoyeg in the Torah, Midrabanan, you would say the same. Why? Why
no.
Just this one?
No, because first of all, with something like this, sometimes we do that. There are other dinim where we do that, where we say that we have a concept called konsu shergin otumezin. We actually talked about that at the beginning of the Masechta. We talked about it in connection with a case where a person stuck his hand out into another reshus. Do we say that if he did it for shergin, we still penalize him as if it was amazing? Sometimes we do that. In particular, when it comes to, there is an idea that the Mephoshim say that when it comes to things having to do with Shehiya, which after all, part of the reason why you have all these, the reason why you have all these Zeres of Shehiya and Chazara and everything is because it's very similar to cooking on Shabbos. So it's very similar, it's very close to a Malacha D'oraisa. And therefore, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, this is the kind of thing where we might have reason, even though it's not an actual Malacha D'oraisa, but because it's very close to it, that might be reason to say that we should be Masmir and say and penalize him, even if he truly was Shergig, because we never know who really is Shergig and who is not. So yeah, you have some of the Mephoshim broaden that more generally to Dirabbanan when it comes to Shabbos, that in general maybe we say, that in general maybe we're Masmir with them. We're going to talk about later on this daf. We're going to have various cases which the Gemara leaves as a topic, and you have a machlokes haposkim, whether we need to be machmir or whether we need to be makel. Those who are machmir, one of the points they bring is that point, because all of these things are very similar to cooking, which is a malacha d'oraisa, and we don't want people to get careless. There are, in fact, other cases where we also say that we do also say konsa shogig b'meizid, that if a person does a certain thing b'shogig, we treat it to a certain extent as if it was b'meizid, and we penalize him, and we penalize him accordingly, because otherwise, you're never going to be able to tell, because he's going to do things b'meizid and claim that he was shogig. So yeah, you do have that concept here and there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's Rav Nachman Leitzchak's understanding is then that Rav Chiya Bar Abba, when he's telling the people what the din is, he's actually telling them to be machmir, that you cannot if you left the food on there going into Shabbos, even though it was b'shogeg, you still can't eat it till Matzah Shabbos. Okay. So the Gemara says maybe. The Gemara says I have a contradiction on Rabba and Rav Yosef. Again, Rabba and Rav Yosef understood Rav Chiya Bar Abba in the lenient sense, that he means to say that you would be able to eat this food, that you did shahia with against the rules, where the stove wasn't gorer for kotum, where you hadn't prepared the fire before Shabbos. And they're saying that Rav Chiya Bar Abba is saying you are allowed to eat that food because it's similar to the case of a person cooking on Shabbos b'shogeg. But we learn a braita, shochach gera al gabei kira, if a person forgot a pot on top of the stove before Shabbos, Ubishla, and it ended up cooking, it ended up finishing cooking. Ubishla b'Shabbos, it finished off cooking on Shabbos. B'shogeg yochal, if it was b'shogeg, then you're allowed to eat it. B'mezid lo yochal, but if it was b'mezid, then you're not allowed to. B'med v'orim amurim, what are we talking about when we're saying that you're not allowed to eat it? B'chamin shalehuchmu kol tzokan, when you have hot water that wasn't completely boiled before Shabbos, the tavshil shall have bishul kol tzokei, or part of food that was not completely cooked before Shabbos. So then the Chachamim are telling you that if you did it b'mezid, then it's osur. Avol chamin shehuchmu kol tzokei, but if hot water, if you have hot water that you left on there that was completely boiled before Shabbos, that was boiled as much as possible before Shabbos, the tavshil shall bishul kol tzokei, or you have a pot of food that was completely cooked before Shabbos, and it's just one of these cases of and it's just one of these mistamik b'yafaloi that we talked about earlier, where you have food that you leave it on the stove, and the longer it stays on the stove and the longer it shrivels, the better it tastes. Then bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid yochal divrei Rav Meir. Then Rav Meir says you would be allowed to eat it as long as it was completely cooked before Shabbos. Says Rav Meir, you would be allowed to eat it even whether you left it there b'shogeg or b'mezid. In other words, Rav Meir is saying it's one thing if it wasn't completely cooked and it's finished cooking on Shabbos, then not. But if it was completely cooked, and even though, let's say, it's stamach v'yachaloi, nevertheless he's saying that the b'dieved was going to be master it. Because then that he's not getting such a great benefit from it. He's not getting such a great benefit from it that we should be worried that he's going to do such a thing in the future, the major, or that he's going to actually cook on Shabbos to do that. That's Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda says no. Chamin shehuchmu kol tzokan mutarin. No, when it comes to hot water that was completely boiled before Shabbos, sure, there, even if you left it on there, b'mezid, then it'll be mutter. The nation is samik v'raloi, because water is one of those things where the longer we leave it on the stove, the worse it gets, because once the water is boiled, there's no benefit to leaving it boiling. All you're accomplishing by boiling it more is that more and more of it is evaporating. But the tavshel shabishul kol tzokei osur, but says Rav Yehuda, when you're talking about a pot of food that was completely cooked, then he says osur, then it would be osur if you left it on the stove before Shabbos, without the stove being goreh for kotum, because a pot of food typically is the kind of thing where the longer you leave it on the pot, on the stove, the better it gets. So therefore, Rav Yehuda is still concerned that you're going to do that in the future, and therefore we're going to answer it. And he says the rule will be, says Rav Yehuda, any food that is mistamek v'yafaloi, any food that the more it shrivels on the fire, the better it tastes. To goyim, for example, krum, cabbage, or polim, or peas, or basar taruf, or chopped meat. Now we learned at the end of the previous amud that when it comes to actual pieces of meat, then we said it's mitzamech l'ramo, because you want those pieces of meat to still look big and nice to be able to serve to your guests. But when you chopped up the meat, you made it into shawarma, you made it into hamburger or whatever. So then you don't care about it looking nice for the guests, obviously. So then it's mitzamech l'yavalai. The aruch adds another detail also when you cut it into small pieces like that. Obviously, what you want is that all the fat and all the taste of it should get into the food that you want to that you're cooking together with it. So therefore, it would be mitzamech l'yavalai. So all those kinds of things, also, says Rabbi Yehuda, would be also if you left them on a stove that was not goruch for kachum. But the chol mitzamech l'yavalai mutter. If it's mitzamech l'yavalai, if it's something like hot water, or as we said before in the Gemara, things that involve flour, for example, where the more they cook, the harder they get, or other such things, those are mitzamech l'yavalai. So those things, fine, mutter, those things would be mutter if you left them on a stove that wasn't goruch for kosher. The point is, what does this braisa have to do with what we were talking about? Katoni mia tavshol shel bishul kol tzorchei. Now, we mentioned that you have a case of a pot of food that wasn't completely cooked. And we said that if it wasn't completely cooked, then we distinguish between b'shoigig and b'mezid. We say b'shoigig, you would be allowed to eat it, even though it finished cooking on Shabbos. B'mezid, if you left it down there, b'mezid, and it finished cooking on Shabbos, then we're saying it would be also to eat it. So now again, let's review. We have Rava and Rav Yosef saying that whether it was b'shoigig or b'mezid, you're allowed. We have Rav Nachman saying that whether it's b'shoigig or b'mezid, it's not allowed. Now, this shleimah of Rav Nachman took like kasha. Now, according to Rav Nachman, it's not so hard to understand that what the Braita is saying, because you could say, why is the Braita saying it's allowed the shogeg and not allowed the mezid, when Rav Nachman is saying that it's also with both, because you make a gzera, because you might end up leaving food on there, the mezid, and claiming it was the shogeg? Okay, very simple. Can kodem gzera, can ma'achem gzera? One's talking about before the gzera, and one's talking about after the gzera. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok would say, there came a point in history when they had to make a gzera, when the Chachamim found it necessary to make a gzera, because you started to have this kind of situation where people are leaving pots of food on a non-goruch for kachum stove before Shabbos and claiming when they called them on it, claiming that they did it b'shogeg. Therefore, the Chachamim found reason to make that gzera even if you do it b'shogeg. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok would say, okay, so this braisa that we just quoted is talking about before that gzera. So before that gzera, it was also b'mezid, it was mutter b'shogeg. Ela Rabba and Rav Yosef, the Amila Hetera. But Rabba and Rav Yosef are saying it's mutter, it's mutter even if it was b'mezid. So what's going on with this braisa? E kodem gzera kashim mezid. If we're assuming that this braisa was said before the gzera was made, then you have a question: why is it saying that the mezid is also? If Rabba and Rav Yosef are understanding, they are understanding that you're allowed to even if it was b'mezid before the gzera. And if it's after the gzera, then you have a question, how is it allowing you to eat it for shogeg? They would agree, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef would agree, that's fine. The discussion we were having before between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef on the one hand and Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok on the other was all about understanding what Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is saying. They all agree that eventually there came a point when a gzera was made that you can't eat the food even if it was left on there for shogeg. So according to them, when we have a braisa saying that the shogeg no, the mezid yes, when is that talking about? Before the gzera, either one would have been mutter, according to them, and after the gzera, both of them are also. So the one thing you're right, kasha, we're left with a kasha on them, and you're right, it's not a complete refutation, but nevertheless, the halacha ends up being like Rav Nachman Yitzchok, so it would be also the shogeg or the mezid. Although, now later on, we're going to take up this question again. We're going to take up this question of Shogeg and Mazid again, and we're going to discuss, is this the final word, in fact, that we're saying that it is all, that it's also to everybody, the Shogeg over Mazid, or maybe are there cases where we are Makel if, after all, he did it the Shogeg. But so far, what we're saying is that we're accepting of Nachum Yitzchok's understanding that either the Shogeg or the Mazid is also. So if you want to ask my Zerta, what is this Zerta that we're talking about? But like this, the Omer of Yehuda Bar Shmuel, Omer of Abba, Omer of Kahana, Omer of Rav, the Tchila Hoyer Oymim HaMavashah V'Shabbos, the Shogeg Yoichal, the Mazid V'Yoichal. Originally, the Chachamim said that if a person actually cooks on Shabbos, actually puts a pot of food on the stove, the Shogeg, he would be allowed to eat that food, the Mazid V'Yoichal, but if he put it on there, the Mazid, then he's not allowed to eat it, as we said before from the Mishnah. And the Chachamim said, V'hu Adim L'Shecheach, the original halacha was the same thing holds true if a person forgot the pot of food on there. But Misherabu Mashin Benezid, but eventually you had a lot of people who are leaving the food on the stove without doing Goruch Bekotum before Shabbos. And they claimed, when they were called on it, they claimed that we forgot. Made a knaf on somebody who forgets the food on there, that even there the food is also. Again, we have to stress that all of this discussion is either if the food was not K'michel ben Drusoy before Shabbos, which then it would be according to everybody, or if it was K'michel ben Drusoy but not fully cooked, according to the Rishonim, according to the Reis and the Rambam, and the Mechaber, and the Mechaber, who agrees with them, who say that the halacha is not like Hananya, and even for Shehiya, you need the oven, you need the stove to be goreh for cooking.
Okay.
So now the question is like this. Okay, so that's that so far. So we have, again, we started with two different possible understandings of what Rav Chiya Bar Abba said. If you forgot it on there, we ended up that we're left with Rav Nachum Yitzchok's explanation that it's author, whether you did it for Shogeg or whether you did it for Mazid, because of the knas that we just said, that the Chachamim found that there were people who were doing such things deliberately and then falsely claiming that they did it mistakenly.
Okay.
Why did they do it deliberately? Who did they gain?
Because you had people who didn't want to, bother with doing goreh for kotum before Shabbos. They didn't want to bother with preparing their fire before Shabbos and then putting ashes on it or clearing out the fire or whatever. They wanted to, like we quoted before from the Rosh, you know, Jews like their own Shabbos. They like their hot food for Shabbos. So these people were going too far with that, though. They were going and leaving their pots on the stove in order to keep hot for Shabbos. And then when people would say to them, wait a minute, you're not allowed to do that, they would say, oh, I forgot, and I left it on there. So once the Chachamim saw the same thing would become prevalent, then they found it necessary to make a zera that even if a person does the thing accidentally, then it's still going to be after until after Shabbos. And that way nobody's going to gain from doing such a thing accidentally on purpose, and that way people will stop doing that and will start doing the halacha properly.
They did Shehiya and they moved the coals?
They did Shehiya, and again, if the halacha is like Hananya, then they were doing Shehiya when the food was not yet Michael. If the halacha is like Hananya, they were doing it when the food was not completely raw, but not yet to Michael Ben Rasai, which we said even Hananya would agree is after, because you might stir up the coals. If we say the halacha is not like Hananya, then they were doing it with food that was even beyond Michael Ben Rusoi, but still not completely cooked and stomachly yachaloy, the kind of food where the longer you leave it on the stove, the better it tastes. So these people were doing that because they wanted their hot food for Shabbos, but they were not following the halacha. They were not following the appropriate halachas of Shehiya, and they were claiming that they're doing it accidentally, so therefore the Chachamim found it necessary to penalize them.
This Gadif is basically taking a real fire and sort of putting the fire out and just using the leftover warmth to keep it hot over Shabbos?
Pretty much. I mean, Gadif involves that you're sweeping out the cold from the stove. So, right, you still have...
Which is the fire, okay.
They still have the residual heat that was left of them before, but you don't have any actual cold. Kotum would mean that you're covering them with ashes, where therefore, again, I mean, you still have heat from them, but the heat is basically getting absorbed by the ashes, right?
So basically, that's why a person would be happy not to do Garvada. This way, the fire is hotter, and this way, you have a good chalent. A good chalent.
Exactly.
That they got. Okay.
Now, we quoted in this connection, we quoted earlier on the Amud, a Braisa, where Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda argue about what happens if the person left the pot on the fire against the dinim, again, where the fire wasn't gorer for kutum, and he wasn't supposed to leave the pot on there. So we said Rav Meir had said that whether it's hot water or it's a pot of food, as long as it was completely boiled or completely cooked before Shabbos, then you would be allowed to eat it. Even though you forgot it. This is before the Gzeirah we're talking about. Rabbi Yehuda had distinguished between the different kinds of foods, whether it's mitzvah v'yafalai or mitzvah v'ralai. That if it's mitzvah v'yafalai, then he would say it's possible, because then you have more concern that he's going to do that deliberately in the future, because he wants the food to be more and more shriveled up and taste better and better. Versus if it's mitzvah v'ralai, for example, water, or for example, something including flour, then we say that then Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's allowed. Now the question is, before on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, we learned a different braisa where we had also Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and we had Rav Meir saying over there that Rav Meir limiting very much what you allowed even to do shahiyah with in the first place. Rav Meir actually had basically said, we have the case over there of the two tiris, one next to the other. And we said that really it doesn't apply only to that. It applies in general to the question of Akira. That Rav Meir says that the Hillel says that, and Alok is like the Hillel, of course, that the only thing you can leave on a stove for Shabbos is, even if it's goro for kutum, is hot water. Whereas Rav Yehuda had disagreed and said that you could leave a pot of food on there also. So now the question is, we seem to have a contradiction. We seem to have a contradiction between the mayor's two statements, because before on Lamed Zayin he was saying that the only thing you were allowed to leave on a stove before Shabbos, even if it was goro for kutum, was hot water. Whereas here he's saying that if you left on there a pot of food that was completely cooked, then you would be allowed to eat it, and even if it was mitzvah v'yafalai. And you also have a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda. Before, Rabbi Yehuda was saying that you're allowed to put hot water or food on there, and food, b'kashrus, means even if it's mitzvah v'yafalai. And over here he's saying mitzvah v'yafalai, and you forgot it on there, then you're not allowed to eat it. So what's going on? So the answer is, did Rav Meir like Kasher? There's no contradiction between the two statements of Rav Meir, because in the previous one, on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, he was talking about Lachatchila. Rav Meir says the only thing you're allowed to leave on there, according to Kasilo, is hot water for Shabbos. But b'di'eved, if you left food on there, then we're going to say that you're allowed to eat it. So no contradiction. And Rabbi Yehuda nami like Kasha. And Rabbi Yehuda's two statements is also not a contradiction. Can be grufo k'tumah, can be she'ena grufo k'tumah. Because the previous braisa on Lamed Zayin was talking about where the oven, where the stove is goruf for kutum, and then we were talking about that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you're allowed to leave a pot of food on there on Shabbos. And over here, in our braisa, here on Lamed Ches, we're talking about where it wasn't goruf for kutum. So it wasn't goruf for kutum. So therefore, he says, b'di'eved. Even b'di'eved, I'm not going to allow you to eat it because you didn't do the proper thing before Shabbos and make sure that the stove was goruf for kutum. And it turns this point out that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you still need lachatchila versus b'di'eved, because we said before that if it's not goruf for kutum, you're really not supposed to put anything on there. And here we're saying that b'di'eved, there's a difference between hot water and hot food. the Rashba has a different understanding of it. The Rashba says that if the stove not goruch kokotum, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you're allowed to put hot water on it. He just says you can't put food on it unless it's goruch kokotum. Anyway, the point is that we're able to reconcile the two statements of Rav Meir, because one's a chila and one's a b'dieved, and we're able to reconcile the two statements of Rabbi Yehuda because it depends whether the stove is goruch kokotum or not. Okay. Now we have a question. Over the shiha mai, what happens if a person lets a pot of food on the stove and when the oven when it was not goruch kokotum? So the question is, mi kansur rabbanon aloi, do the rabbanon penalize him or not? Now, what kind of a question is that? We just said before that chachamim penalize him. We said that the Chacham penalized him. We also said, we just quoted a Braisa of Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, depending on that Rameir is makel and allows you to eat it, and Rabbi Yehuda is masmer. And if it's mitzamah for Yachaloi, then it's also, even if it was completely cooked before Shabbos. So what is the Gemara asking over here? There's a lot of different explanations among Rishonim what the Gemara is asking. Tosa says that the question is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, maybe not. If we say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, then would Rabbi Yehuda say it only if it was b'meidin, not the shergig? Tosa learns that we're talking about over here the shergig. So said, yes, it's true we have the Zera that we mentioned before from after Rabbi Yehuda's time, where the Chachamim said, even if you forgot it, we're still going to penalize you because you may do it purposely and claim that you did it accidentally. But the Gemara is asking, what would have been the din before the Zera? That's Tosfos. Then you have a number of other explanations also. The Ritva says that we're talking about over here that let's say you left it on the stove, but let's say, for example, again, the stomach the yakala is the kind of thing where the longer you leave it on the stove, the more it shrivels and the better it tastes. But let's say, the Ritva says, the question is, let's say you took it off before it actually started shriveling. Is it that you're also to do the shahiyah in the first place, and therefore even if it didn't actually accomplish anything yet, because it didn't have a chance to start shriveling after it was fully cooked, even then we're going to ask for it, or maybe not. So that's a different explanation. And then there's a toast that the Rosh talks about that maybe the Gemara is asking over here about, are other people allowed to eat it or not? There's a few different explanations. Anyway, so that's the question. So do the Chachamim count to him or not? So again, either we're talking about theoretically, according to the Yehuda before the Gzera, or we're talking about if he took it off before the taste actually started improving, where it started being a stomach, or are we asking it to other people as well? And again, you have a few other explanations of Rishonim what exactly the question is. So we can prove from the fact that Shmuel bar Nosson says in the name of Rav Chanina, when Rav Yossi one time went to Tzipori, we learned a few days ago, we learned in the story of Rav Shimon, of the three Chachamim, we said that Rav Yossi was actually sent into exile in Tzipori, so maybe we're talking about over here when he first came there. Or maybe we're talking about that, or maybe we're talking about some other time when he visited Sephardi. Whatever it is, the one time he came to Sephardi, he found hot water that they had left on top of a stove, where the stove was not goruch kokotum. The loy also lahem, he did not ask for the water for them, because water is one of those things that's a stomach v'raloy, and he said even Rabbi Yehuda before, who was machmer, would allow with water, because you have no benefit from leaving the water on the stove longer than necessary, because all that happens is more the water starts evaporating. But Beitzim Matsumakas Shinishkahu Agavikira, but Rabbi Yossi also found in Sephardi that they had eggs that were shriveling up and shrinking in size that were left on a stove before Shabbos, where again the stove was not goruch kokotum, but also lahan, and he told them that those eggs are osur. He told them that eggs like that are osur because eggs are Tamak B'yachalim. Now, when we say that he asked it to them, my lav la'oseh Shabbat. The pashtus, it means that he found that they're cooking these eggs, which are shriveling up and shrinking and improving the taste, as the Gemara is going to say in a second. And he's saying it's also to them, in other words, that he told them that even now after you did it, even after the fact now that you did it, you're not going to be allowed to eat those eggs. So that would answer the question, that even though you did it for shogeg, because they didn't know necessarily that this was osur, nevertheless we'd be saying that it's osur, so that would show that even for shogeg, that would show that even for shogeg it would be osur. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. The Shabbat Habah, it could mean that Rav Yossi is telling them, for future Shabbosim, you're not allowed to do such a thing. This Shabbat, you left these eggs on there, and they ended up shriveling up, fine, go ahead and eat it. But for future Shabbosim, see to it that you don't do that because because eggs are mitzvah b'yachaloi, and therefore you need to have them. Therefore you need to have them only on a stove that's goreh for kachin. Now here you have, according to the different explanation, Rashi had said that the whole question of the Gemara was if you did it maybe of a Rashiha, we said if you deliberately left it on there. But then according to Rashi, Marsha explained that Rashi would have to say that the mazid over here means not that they knew that it's also on Shabbos, they deliberately left it on there, not knowing that such a thing is also on Shabbos. So in other words, he's telling them, Din, that for future Shabbosim, you should know that, Din, that you're not allowed to do that. According to the other explanations that we said, we could be talking about it was the Shogig, and so he's telling them for the future, he's teaching them what the correct Din is, that you're not allowed to do that for the future. So that's that. So the Gemara is leaving the question open. What happens if you left the pot on the stove? So again, according to Tosfos, it's not really a relevant question because the question is only before the Gzeira, and now that we have the Gzeira, it's a moot point. Given that it's a din d'rabbanan, are we makel in it or not? Do we say that we're makel, in general, we say that it's sofik d'rabbanan, so we're makel. So therefore, it's fine. So we say that if it didn't actually start shriveling, then, like the Rishpa says, you would be able to eat it because you took it off before it actually starts shriveling. And then you have other explanations that he's talking about shogeg, but maybe there's a difference between shogeg and shecheach. Shecheach means that you forgot it, whereas shogeg is you actually didn't know that it was osur. So you have different opinions, but the consensus of the poskim is that it will be that under such circumstances, under whatever the circumstances are that we're asking over here, it will be allowed. So when the person actually did it, the shogeg, then as we said before, we're going to ask it because we're concerned that he's going to do it, the mazid, and claim that he did it the shogeg. But over here, where he actually forgot it, then especially if he removes it from the fire before it actually starts being established, then there's an ability to be mangled. So the Gemara asks, "Miklal the basin mitzumakas mitzamis v'yapalahem." So are you telling me then that eggs are one of those things? Which are mitzamis v'yapa, where the more it shrinks in cooking, the better it tastes. Miklal the basin mitzumakas mitzamis v'yapalahem. You know, and the Gemara says, "Ein." Yes, as a matter of fact, they are. The Amud of Chama Bar Chanina, because Rav Chama Bar Chanina says, "Tam achat nisarachti anivad Rebbe l'makom echad." One time, I and Rebbe were guests in a certain place at the same time on a weekday. The Pashas we're talking about. Actually, Rashi says explicitly it was on a weekday. They view the fanenu beitzim the sumakas ku'uzrabin. They brought us eggs that had been shrunken in cooking, down to the size of uzrodin, which are kind of little wild apples, the alchalim and harbe, and we ate a lot of them. So the fact that he says we ate a lot of them means they tasted really good, and therefore it means, in other words, that it's mitzvah v'yachaloi. So there you go. Eggs are another one of those things. Besides, we had the general rules before. What's mitzvah v'yachaloi and what's not? So now we have another thing to add to the list of things that are mitzvah v'yachaloi: eggs. That eggs, the more they cook, the better they taste.
So we know it's not true.
Yeah, we do. I mean, no, obviously there comes a point. Obviously, if they get burned, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about when they're on the stove until the point where they get burned. But when they shrink in cooking and shrink more and more, according to what Rav Chaim Mechanina is saying over here, they taste really good.
There's no added taste because they are well boiled.
Apparently there is. Apparently, eggs are one of those things. The more they get boiled down and the more they get smaller and smaller in the cooking, the better they taste. Therefore, it's an example of the Stamus Leopoli. Worth mentioning in this connection, by the way, and it's not exactly the same thing because eggs and cholins don't shrink that much, but there is an interesting little story. I think we told it before. In the times of the Ben Ish Chai, where there was a Yid who decided he wanted to shmadzich, Rahman al-Islam, and become a Muslim. And the law in those days was that the Rav has to first be given an opportunity to talk him out of it, and only if he still insists on it, only then will the authorities allow him to go through with it. So the guy, the Ben Ish Chai, goes and tries to talk the guy out of it, nothing doing, but he had a friend who tells him, you know, he tells him, you know, Yankel, you love those eggs that are in the chamin, in the cholent, for Shabbos, and you should know, if you become a Muslim, you're going to lose that, because the Muslims don't have chamin on Shabbos. And that made him change his mind. So we see that eggs are, eggs that are cooked in cholent. Some people like that. And here we're describing where they get cooked down, and they shrink more and more in the cooking, and the Chaim Mechanina is saying that he and Rebbe liked those, and they tasted very good, implying that it's Mestamus Biyachalot. So that's that. So far we have a variety of dinim involving Shahia. So with all of the various cards that we talk about, all the different opinions, it gets somewhat complicated in Shulchan Aruch what the actual dinim are. Again, you have the most basic machloekas you have on this is the question whether the halacha is like Hanania, which would allow you to do Shahia even if the stove is not goruch v'chatum, and even if the food is only kamaifo ben rusai, or is the halacha, like the chachamim, that the food has to be completely cooked, and, as we're saying, has to be mitzamek v'raloi, in order for you to be allowed to do shahiyah without the oven being goruch v'chatum, and otherwise you would have to have it needs to be goruch v'chatum. So you have, as we said, you have a machloekas rishonim, you have the Rif and the Rambam, versus a number of other rishonim, including Rashi and Tosfos, whether the halacha is like Hananiah or not. In Shulchan Aruch, it mentions both opinions. The Mechaber seems to prefer the Rif and the Rambam's opinion, because he goes it first. The Ramos says the minag is the makel, like the second opinion, which is the opinion of Rashi and Tosfos. So therefore, again, in principle, if you're just leaving a pot of food on the stove, for Shabbos, as long as it was Michael Ben Rustoi before Shabbos, which again, for this purpose, we define Michael Ben Rustoi as half cooked, then in principle, you don't need a blech in order to allow it. Only if you're planning to do chazara, only if you're planning to put back the food, which is the topic of the next sovia that we're going to start now. But according to the reason in Rambam and Mechaber, you would actually have to have a blech even in order to do Shahia, unless the food is mitzamek v'raloi, unless it's the kind of thing where the longer it stays on, the worse it gets. For example, hot water, or for example, as we said, things involving flour or whatever.
It's very unusual the most usual thing we say is the halacha is usually like the chachamim. It's very unusual, it's not. Why in this case it's not? Chachamim?
Well, again, according to the Rif, it is. And the Rif brings a number of proofs from various places in our sugya where we see that we're not allowing things which according to Hananiah ought to be allowed. Also the next Mishnah, for example, which we're going to have on Amud Bey. But the Tosfos mentions the fact that the beginning of the Gemara was trying so hard to make the Mishnah work according to Hananiah, even to the extent of saying Chasuri Master, the Mishnah is missing a phrase, in order to make it work according to him, that must be, because since the halacha is like him, therefore the Gemara does that. There's a few other places in chapter where Tosfos makes a similar point, that when we find that the Gemara really tries hard to make a Mishnah work according to a certain opinion, that implies that the halacha must be like that opinion. Otherwise the Gemara wouldn't bother.
Well, it breaks the rule that the Chachamim have the halacha for them.
Okay, but it's not the only place where we have that rule broken. And in general, it's true. We say Yochid V'Rav Malacha V'Rav, but it's not an absolute rule. Once in a while, we have a case where the halacha is like a Yochid against the Rav, and according to Rashi and Tosfos, then other Rishonim, so it is over here.
Yeah, but my question is why?
Again, because apparently, according to Tosfos, the Masadri HaGemara knew that the halacha is like Hananya, and therefore they were interested in making our Mishnah fit according to him. How do they know that the halacha is according to Hananya? Listen, now Meroyim are able to make such determinations. They're able to, generally when we have a Machlokas Tanoim, we usually have certain rules who the halacha is like, but the Meroyim, based on their knowledge of Torah, are able to make exceptions to those. And this, apparently, according to Tosfos, would be one of those exceptions.
So thanks to that kind of reasoning, everybody's, you know, has different opinions of who the halacha is like, which is not a good thing.
No, most of that's how it is. That's what, again, we, you know, three times a day in davening, we say, Shiva Shoshana Kuvari Shoshana, right? That's the nature of things when we don't have a Sanhedrin. Is there going to be different opinions who the halacha is like? And as we've been going throughout the whole story over here, the last couple of days, we have a lot of different details in the Gemara over here where there's a lot of different opinions about how to understand it. This last thing that we had about Ovah Mashiach, for example, we just said there's half a dozen different explanations among the Mephoshim what the Gemara is asking. That's the nature of things. As long as we don't have a Sanhedrin, we don't have one central authority to decide halacha for us. Therefore, different Tanoim or the different Amoroyim or the different Rishonim, etc., are able to argue with each other, and we don't have any final authority. Sometimes it develops a consensus like one of them, and then that becomes the established halacha. Sometimes not. Sometimes we just have the Mechaber holds one way, the Ramah holds another way, and that's that. Sfaradim therefore follow the Mechaber, and Ashkenazim follow the Ramah, and so forth. That's just the nature of things. All right, let's go on.
Right. So there is. Are there other cases in the Gemara where the Halacha is not like the Chachamim?
Yes, there are cases here and there where the Halacha is not like the Chachamim.
How many cases?
I don't know exactly, but I don't know. But there are such cases. All right, let's go on. We said in the Mishnah, Bishilul Oyvim Achmachzun. We said Bishilul says that not only you're allowed to leave a pot of food on the stove for Shabbos, but also you're allowed to put it back there on Shabbos. So let's talk about that. Omer of Sheshes, L'Givrei Ha'Oyvim Achzun. According to Bishilul, that as long as the stove is goda for kosher, you're allowed to put the pot back on it. That means afilu b'Shabbos. That means even on Shabbos. Now, what does that mean, even on Shabbos? Of course, when else would we be talking about? Rashi says it means even during the daytime on Shabbos. Now, it's like this. You could have thought, says Rashi, that on Friday night, fine, when you take the pot off, when you take the pot off the fire, you obviously still want to have the food hot for the next day. So therefore, we can say when you took it off, you didn't mean to keep it off. You meant to take it off for a minute to serve the food and then put it right back. So therefore, there would be reason to allow it. But maybe by day already, where you don't really need the food to be hot anymore afterwards, maybe we would say that taking it off is, it's effectively saying that you don't want it on the fire anymore. And nevertheless, so Rav Sheshet is saying that Bishilul isn't saying that. Bishilul, when Bishilul allows you to put back the pot, it would apply whether Friday night or whether Shabbos day. That's the point of direction. Tosfos has a whole different understanding, which is at the beginning of the parak, Tosfos discussed that according to Bishilul, Machzirin, that Tosfos learned that you wouldn't be allowed to put it back even before Shabbos if it's very close to Shabbos and the pot is not going to have enough time to heat up before Shabbos. So Tosfos explains accordingly that mainly the Chama and the Sila are arguing about can you put the pot back on the fire before Shabbos if it cooled off. But also the Sheshet is informing us that actually the Sila would, when they allow you to put it back, it would be not only on Friday, in other words, when there's enough time for it, when it's still hot, but even on Shabbos itself, they would also allow you to put it back. Okay. The Gemara says, after Oshia saw the Ahmad, the Shabbos, Rav Oshia also understands, like Rav Sheshet, that when the Tzibul says Af Machzirim means even on Shabbos, again, according to Rashi, it means even on Shabbos day, not just Friday night, but also Shabbos day. According to Tosfos, it means not only Friday afternoon, but also on Shabbos itself. The Amr of Oshia, because Rav Oshia tells, Pam Achat Hayuna Oymim La'elom Rav Chiya Rabba, one time we were standing in front of Rav Chiya Rabba, Rav Chiya the Great, which is the famous Rav Chiya, the Chaver of the Talmud of Rebbe. La'ela, by the way, means above. We learned back on Daf Lamed, we use the expression La'ela, meaning in front of, like at a slight distance, out of respect. Anyway, so Rav Oshia says, we were standing as Talmidim in front of Rav Chiya Rabba. We brought up for him a kettle of hot water from the bottom floor of the, from the first floor of the house up to the second floor, which is where Rav Chiya was sitting. We poured for him, we mixed his wine with the hot water from the kettle. And then we put the kettle back on the fire downstairs, the light on the one, and not on fire, on the stove, which was Gorah Fakatum. The light on the one of Dover, and the Chiyah didn't say anything to us, implying that it's Mutter. As long as the stove is Gorah Fakatum, then you're allowed to do this even on Shabbos day, or according to Rashi, or even on Shabbos itself, according to Tosfos. That in other words, the point is, you, like this, Rav Oshia took the kettle off in order to pour water for Rav Chiya. Maybe it would be considered like he's not planning to put it back anymore. But we see that it was allowed. We see even on Shabbat itself, it's allowed. Okay. Amar of Zrika, Amar of Abba, Amar of Tidai.
Rabbi, I'm sorry for interrupting. Yeah. Sorry for interrupting. But yeah, if this is already after a whole night, And this thing with the recutif means that they basically take out the ashes or the coals or covered it with sand. By Shabbos, by day already, it's not hot anymore. It can't be hot.
Well, it's not necessarily
heat.
It's not necessarily hot. It's not necessarily boiling hot, of course. I mean, it depends on the temperature in the house to a certain extent, I guess. But at least it's more than Yatsa Ledeskoi. All of these dinim that we're talking about over here are only if the water or whatever it is more than Yatsa Ledeskoi. So we have to assume that whenever it is that they did it, whether it was Friday night or whether it was Shabbat day, we have to assume that it was still hot enough to be at least Yatsa Ledeskoi. So yeah.
Right, Friday night, I understand, but in those ovens where there was coal and the coal would go out, or you're putting the coal out, you're taking the coal away, and you're putting sand on it or ash. So obviously, over the whole night until the next day, it should be actually very strange how it would be outside.
Well, I mean, you also have to realize, though, these stoves that we're talking about were made out of earthenware, and earthenware retains heat very well. So it still could have retained enough heat to keep the water fairly hot. You're right; it wouldn't have been boiling hot, but it still might have been. It still might
That's
have been.
That's Okay.
Anyway, Amar of Zrika, Amar of Abba, Amar of Kedai. Lo shanu. This rule that we're saying that you're allowed to put the pot back on the stove is only elisha oydan miyodai, only if you still have the pot in your hand. Abba v'nichan agave karka. But if you put the pot down on the ground, then it would be offered to put it back, because once you put it down on the ground, then it's considered, now when you put it back on the stove, it's considered a new act of putting it on the stove. Like this, the whole reason why chazara is allowed is because you're doing it in a way you didn't undo the original shihiya. You still have the pot had been put on the stove before Shabbos, intending to keep it hot. You took it off for a moment, but you're planning to put it right back. As long as you didn't put it on the ground, then you haven't been mevato back. Once you put it on the ground, then it's considered. Now, when you put it back on the stove, it would be a new action of hatmana. It would be a new action of hatmana or shahiyah or whatever, and therefore it would be also. Even if and that means even if you're holding it in your hand when it's on the ground. But yeah.
It has to be fully on the ground, or one part of it can be on the ground and the rest in your hand.
If it's on the ground, then it's also even if he's holding it. You have, by the way, there is a bit of discussion among the Achronim There was a bit of discussion among the Achronim, what about, for example, if you put it on the table or on a kitchen counter or something, does that count as the equivalent of the ground or not? You have a number of Achronim say that it does. So wait, we're not done with the discussion yet. We're not done with the discussion
yet. No, but does the pan have to be, let's say, three-quarters of it is in the air and one-quarter is on the ground? That counts?
I don't know. I mean, the pashtus, when we talk about agave kalka, the pashtus means that the pashtus, it means that any part of it is touching the ground. But I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, Amr Rav Ami. So Rav Ami says, Rav Tadoi was the Ova when Rav Tadoi passed him this way and says that you can't once it was on the ground. Legarme hu the Ova. That's actually only according to his own personal opinion. The halacha is not like him. Rather, this is what Rav Chiya said in the name of Rav Yehonatan. Even if you put it on the ground, it would be mutter to put it back. But within that, but further, Rav Gimi and Rav Yehuda disagree further on that. Both of them are saying in the name of Rav Elazar, so both of them may have different opinions in the name of what Rav Elazar said. One says that if he still has it in his hand, then you're allowed to put it back. But if he put it on the ground, then it would be also. The other one says even if you put it on the ground, it would also be mutter. So that those two opinions represent the same two opinions that we just said, Rav Tadai versus Rav Yechanan, whether it's also once you put it on the ground or whether it's mutter even when you put it on the ground. But the Gemara continues, Amar Chizkiya Meshmei Dambaya, Hoda Amrit, when he's saying that if it's in his hand, that while he's still holding it in his hand, that would only apply if he intends, one, when he took it off the stove, to put it back. But if he doesn't intend to put it back and later on he changes his mind, also then it would be also even though he's still holding it in his hand. Niklal, which the implication of that statement, Gaugabe Karka, that if he put it on the ground, also that it would be also even if he means to put it back. So in other words, according to that way of looking at it, you would need two conditions. It would have to be that it's still in your hand, and it would have to be that you intend to put it back. Now, again, when we talk about in his hand, but on the ground, do we mean for this purpose? Does the counter count as the ground? So actually, maybe based on what you were saying before about what you were asking a minute ago, Rav Moshe, about if it's only partially on the ground or on the counter, the fact is that the way we see people doing nowadays is that they have it partially on the counter and partially in their hand, and they intend to put it back, and then they're able to put it back. Maybe the idea is, because since the Gemara, after all, is only mentioning the ground over here, and you have a bit of a machlokes haposkim, what the din is about if you put it on a piece of furniture or something, and then within that you also have the question, what about a counter? Maybe we would say that to that extent, we're makel and we say that only if it's completely on the counter would it be, and not, and out of his hand, would it be also not if it's just touching the counter. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara says Ikadamri, another version of how the statement went. Amar Chizkiya Meshmei D'Abaya. The second version is that Chizkiya says in the name of Abaya. Hod Amret Agabe Kalka also. This that we're saying is also if you put it on the ground. Loy Amaron Elashain Daita L'Hachter. That's only if also, besides putting it on the ground, he didn't intend to put it back. Onto the stove. Avol daita lahachter, but if he intended to put it back, mutter, then it would be mutter. Niklal implying shabbat urgen biyode, that if he's still holding the pot in his hand, avol pishain daita lahachter, according to the second version, even if he didn't intend to put it back, but the fact that he still has it in his hand, mutter would be reason enough to be matir him to put it back. In other words, according to the second version, you only need one of those two conditions. Either that it's in his hand, or he meant to put it back. Now, what is the actual halacha? So here you have, I mean, on the one hand, you have the second lashon is mekel, and usually we go according to the second lashon. Besides which, we're talking about din d'rabbanan over here, and dinim d'rabbanan were usually mekel. On the other hand, again, like we said before, that the problem with Chazara is, the problem with all these dinim of Shehiya and Chazara is that it's very close to Bishul, which is also Daraisa, and therefore we should be Machma on it. So you have different opinions of Poskim on it. The bottom line halacha, as we know, is that we do say that only if you have it in your hand and you intend to put it back, only then are you allowed to. But if you put it out of your hand, or if you originally intended to take it off the fire and keep it off the fire, and then you changed your mind, then we're saying it would be also to put that back. Okay. The Gemara asks, "Boy, Rabbi Yumi asked the question in this connection. What about we're distinguishing between putting the pot on the ground versus holding it in his hand? What about tzlag b'makol mahu? What about if he hung the pot from a stick? So it's not on the ground, but it's not on a hook or something." So is it considered like it's in his hand, or is it considered like it's on the ground? And Bori Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi asks, what happens if he put the pot on a bed or something like that? So again, it's not quite on the ground, but on the other hand, it's on a piece of furniture or something. So maybe therefore it would be awesome. And Bori Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi asks a further question, Pinon mimecham lamecham. What happens if, let's say, you had a kettle of hot water that was on the stove. Let's say you took the hot water from that kettle and poured it into another container, which, let's say, that other container is also hot, because obviously you have achronim. We talk about that if the second keli is cold, then there's no question. Of course, you can't put it back. But you have poskim will say maybe that it's allowed, that it would be allowed even if the second container is not so hot. Anyway, the question is, mahu, what would be the din if, like this, you poured the water from one kettle into another, from one pot into another, and now are you allowed to put that second pot back on? Even though that one wasn't on the fire in the first, even though that one wasn't on the stove in the first place. And the Gemara says teku. So we have a suffix on these questions. And again, you have the question: do we have to be machmir because it's close to bishul daraisa, or can we be makel because it is a din d'rabbanan?
The second kettle was cold.
So there you have a machloikas. Actually, there you have a machloikas achronim. The thing is like this. Usually we say ein bishul acha bishul. Usually we say that once something is cooked, then cooking it again doesn't have a status in halacha. But you could say that maybe that doesn't apply if the second container is cold. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it though is that, if it's completely cold, then yeah, you would have an issue. But in other words, let's say the question would be not so much the temperature of it, but rather kli rishon versus kli sheni. Namely, if you poured it into a kli rishon, a pot that previously was on the fire and now is off the fire, versus a kli sheni, when you poured from that kli rishon into another one, that's a kli sheni. So there's two different ways of looking at what we're talking about. But yes, if you poured it into a completely cold pot, if you poured the hot water into a completely cold pot, there's no question you can't put it back on the stove.
So when can you put it on the stove back?
So if it's in the same kettle, and again, we said you have different opinions whether it has to be in your hand and that you had in mind to put it back, or is it enough one or the other? We have the two different versions in the Gemara. Then it would be allowed. But if you poured it into it, if you poured it into another pot, that's Rav Ashi's question, would you be allowed to or not? So again, if we say, because it's teku, if we say it's only a dinder rabbanan and therefore we can be makel, then good, we can be makel. If we say that these things are very close to bishul and therefore we should after them when you have a suffix, then we would say it's also. So again, you have a machlokes haposkin on that topic.
And when you had two pots on the fire, one was with water, the other one was empty, you take both out, and can you pour from one to the second one and put the second one back on the fire?
So the first one is a kli rishon. So then, yeah, kli rishon, we're saying again, then you have the teku. Then you have the question whether you're allowed to or not. Again, that will depend on this machlokas haposkin, whether in this particular case of teku we're makel or machner.
And what are we? Are we makel?
So it's still right about the mode. Okay, so you have different opinions. You have different opinions according to you have different opinions of what you're allowed to do. The author never talks about various possibilities about what you might be allowed to do, what you might not be allowed to do. If it's a little bit hot, maybe you would be allowed to. We have to deal with the question of the kind of ovens we have nowadays, which have a somewhat different din than the case we're talking about over here. He brings a yesh omrim, that this whole thing that you have to have, that you intended to return it, would only be when you took it off the stove before Shabbos, and now you want to put it on Shabbos. So as opposed to if you took it off on Shabbos and you want to put it on back on Shabbos, then the Ram says we can be makel with all of these things. And okay, with halacha is not really so much like the Ram, but in certain cases we can use his opinion as a sniff and use it as an extra way to be makel. Okay, when you have practical dinim about over here, what you can and can't do, or something to ask the Rav, it's a bit complicated. So I guess let's stop here and we'll pick up tomorrow. Bez Hashem with the Mishnah on the Chet on the Beis.
7:00.
Bez Hashem, yeah.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Good night.